Shalom. Good morning. We are reading about Yahweh's name. Separated be thy name. Hallowed be thy name, it says in the King James. That's Matthew 6:9. Separated be thy name. Messiah speaking to the Father. In chapter 10, Matthew 10, verse 22, Messiah, Yahusha, says, you will be hated for my name's sake. In John 5:43, it tells us that Messiah came in his Father's name. So there's three witnesses so far about the name, Matthew 6, Matthew 10, and John 5:43. And at another time, we read from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, that it's all in the name of Yahweh. Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Yahusha, giving thanks to Yah and the Father by him. And then in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Messiah is the cornerstone. This is a stone set at naught of you builders. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Yahusha. And then, by way of reminder there, as well, in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, and now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be immersed. Be immersed or baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of Yahweh. So, two witnesses for you from the book of Acts. Then in the book of Psalms, here now is Psalm 102, verse 15. So the heathen shall fear the name of Yahweh, and all the kings of the earth thy esteem. The heathen even shall fear the name of Yahweh. So we must proclaim Yahweh's name even to the heathen. And verse 21, and to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of Yahweh in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. And then let's go back to chapter 96. Verse 10, 96th Psalm, say among the heathen that Yahweh reigneth. So there it is, there's the command to proclaim to even the heathen, whereby some Jews say that we should hide the name of Yahweh, or Yahusha the Son, and some Gentile Christians, some modernists would agree that we should hide the name and not discuss it. I've even heard in the Messianic Assembly, Eddie Chumney said we shouldn't differ over the name or how to keep the Sabbath and so on. Well, let's listen here, though. What does the word say? So we stand corrected. Say among the heathen that Yahweh reigneth. So even not just of our fellow brethren that we proclaim his name and study further, but even amongst the heathen, even amongst the Gentiles, we say Yahweh reigns. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Oh, yes, thank Yah. Praise Yahweh. And then going back to Psalm 79, the great Psalm of David, or one of the prophets, actually Psalm of Asaph, Psalm 79, verse 6, pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. Calling upon Yahweh's name is imperative. It's a paramount importance, imperative. And then Jeremiah 10:25 goes along with that. If you would give me a moment to surf over to Jeremiah 10:25. I love Jeremiah 10. It talks about, esteeming Yahweh and praising him, and staying away from idolatry. So 10:25 is the last verse. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. for they have eaten up Jacob and devoured him and consumed him and have made his habitation desolate. So that's not the rest of the story, though. There is hope. There's great hope for all mankind, because John 3:16 says, "For Yahweh loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish." Not will not, but should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jeremiah 10:23, "O Yahweh, I know that the way of man is not in himself." So we don't have it in ourselves. We don't have goodness and righteousness like the heathen think. It's not in ourselves. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. O Yahweh, correct me, but with judgment. Or in other words, with mercy. It would be a synonym for judgment. O Yahweh, correct me, but with mercy. Not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. Well, if we absolutely refuse, if we are so proud that we don't want to call on his name, or that we've found a certain name that we like to use, and then we find further evidence that name that we'd like to use is wrong, well, then we're being stubborn, rebellious, and we need to move on and stop being so rebellious. The last verse of Psalm 69, "The seed also of his servants shall inherit it." Also what? Well, verse 35, "For Yahweh will save Zion." So there's the good news. He's going to save us. Some of us have a long ways to go, but wow, I've got to back up again. "I will praise the name of Yahweh with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving." That was verse 30. And then 33, "Yahweh hears the poor and despises not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves therein. For Yahweh will save Zion," or Zion, "and will build the cities of Yehuda, that they may dwell there and have it in possession." So that's prophecy there. It hasn't yet come to pass. And Isaiah, or Yeshayahu, says that in Isaiah 44. "For Yahweh will save Zion, will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell or tabernacle there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein." Some people love the name of Yahweh. Some people look forward to his second coming. Any discussion about it is exciting to, is refreshing, is joyful to think about his second coming, and even more than that, his name and his government, his law, his joyful kingdom. Oh, praise him forever, forevermore. As it says here, "Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein." And I am a servant, a teacher of Yahweh's word, student that I've, you know, been around for 60 years here studying and sharing the word of Yahweh. But you know, I'm a humble one. I realize my failures, my failure to measure up to his standards, to his law. So I needed Yahusha, the Messiah, to die for my sins on the tree at Calvary and redeem me and be my deliverer and give me eternal life through the resurrection power. Some people, even messianics, some don't believe that, but so they don't have a savior, deliverer, do they? Well, maybe they think they do. Maybe it'll be given to them later. Maybe we have a slight understanding here and there, but I don't think so. You know, we're keeping the covenant in Jeremiah 31, that he's going to write his commandments on our hearts and minds, and our sins and iniquities he will remember no more. Same as in Hebrew 8 and Hebrews 10. Next one is Psalm 44. Psalm 44, verse 20. "If we have forgotten the name of Yahweh, or stretched out our hands to a strange Elohim, shall not Yahweh search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we murdered all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, thou that sleepest. O Yahweh, arise, cast us not off forever." Wherefore? Wherefore? Oh, come back here now. "Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly cleaves unto the earth. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Not for our sake, but for thy mercy's sake. And then we get a clue in the next psalm there, Psalm 45, about the seasons. He talks about the early summer season there. And it is mentioned here, thy throne, O Yahweh, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Oh, it's wonderful to be reading pious psalms and things like that, but do we walk in Yahweh's law? Do we leave the assembly or synagogue or church? Or do we go back to our old ways and jump in the car and push the button and hear some real carnal music, you know, carnal Christian or carnal secular music that may not be very good for our spirits? Oh, Stefania, do you mean that I'm going to hell for listening to that kind of music? Well, I'm not the judge. What if you did? You know, I think we need to have a certain amount of, a lot of, in fact, of respect for the King of Kings. We have to have more of a respect for his authority, for his word. He is the shepherd. Yahweh is our shepherd. Yahovah Rohi, we should not want. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. And, of course, that name is YHVH, which is not listed there in that particular verse, but it's everywhere else throughout the Scripture 7,000 times. I'll declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. What name is it? Well, as somebody asks, why was the name Yahshua not in the Hebrews text? Well, probably because Shua is corrupt. Is a corruption of that, and I don't know how that works, or which text we're using here to prove names, but it should be the Antioch Scrolls, the original Antioch, if we could go back to that and not the Alexandrian. So start from there, and where the word Joshua is, and where the word L-O-R-D appears in the King James and about Genesis chapter 2, and then look that up. What does that mean? It's Lord or Baal, even though Lord seems to have a good connotation, like a master, a leader, a governor, or something, but it actually has a negative, a bad connotation. So we've gone through that before on this website before, YahvahYahweh.name. And according to the scriptures, how do you pronounce Yahweh? Well, it's pronounced like this, Yahweh, or Yahweh, Yahweh. Or Yahovah. And there's no ho, actually, there's no, that Hebrew letter is not there for ho, but if you happen to pronounce it that way, that is not wrong. Okay, we've done that before, done that study. We have that available on YahvahYahweh.name. So a lot of questions coming up about the name, but I think we just need to go on and walk in obedience, in righteousness, and according to the Word. Have the right halakha, the right attitude, first of all, of heart, no doubt. But just, you know, take the advice of the prophets, of the writers, and of those. Well, here's 1 Peter. I'm going to be reading out of the King James Version and changing the word where it might say Lord or Christ or Jesus or something like that, Jesus. We're going to change that to the correct word, what we believe to be the correct word. Okay, so 1 Peter in chapter 3. So we just need to be humble before Yahweh, respectful, and have awe, respect, and even dread. 1 Peter 3:11, let him eschew evil, or get rid of evil, or put it away. Do good, let him seek peace and eschew it. For the eyes of Yahweh, there's our master Yahweh, are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of Yahweh is against them that do evil. Oh, no, come on now. I've heard that so many times in churches that Yahweh just loves everybody. He just loves us no matter what we do. It doesn't matter to him. He's a benevolent, sentimental grandfather up there looking down. No, he's not. It says that Yahweh is a mighty one of justice and of mercy and righteousness. Righteousness. He's coming with righteousness and mercy in his wings. But the face of Yahweh is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? And if you suffer for righteousness' sake, joyful are you. Now, I changed that word from happy because there's a problem with happy. People wish me a happy Sabbath when I walk in, but now I turn around. No, I'm having a joyful Sabbath today. I'm very joyful. Now and then I slip and use the other word. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but set apart Yahweh, Yah, in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, or awesome dread, and having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Yahusha, Messiah. For it is better, if the will of Yahweh be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Yahusha also has once suffered for sins. No, he didn't suffer every Sunday morning at Mass. He suffered once. The just for the unjust. So he is just. He's the only one who is just or right. We were not just. He makes us right if we walk in his righteousness and allow him to reform our character. It's a major rebuilding project in our spirits that has to be done by the Spirit, can't be done by man's labor, which you know. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to Yahweh, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now don't try to make a doctrine out of that one there. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of Yahweh waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, few, that is, phugo, the Greek word phugo, 8 souls were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism does now also save us, it does, by the resurrection of Yahusha. Excuse me. Yahusha, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of Yahweh. No, I thought he was in the second compartment. And then in 1844, then he ascended to the right hand of Yahweh. No, it says right here in Peter, as well as Hebrews 7, 8, and 9, that he's at the right hand of Yahweh, interceding for us. Messengers and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And then in chapter 4 of Peter, for as much then as Messiah has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. There is no longer that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but that you should live to the will of Yahweh. For the time past, or the past time of our life, may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, like the Gentiles, in lusts, excess of wine. So excess of wine, that word means literally excess. Revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. When we take Yahweh's, and we make him less, and we are obsessed by something else. That's an idol. When we are obsessed about a football team. Oh, the ducks. So much. Let the ducks get wet once. Wherein they think it strange that you don't run with them to the same excess of riot, or the same license, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause, was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to Yahweh in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Oh, that's too bad. It's all over with. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Also see Isaiah 32:5. And then verse 12. Here's really what I was warming up to, or working up to, I guess. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Messiah's sufferings, that when his esteem shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Also see Matthew 5:12 in the Sermon on the Mount. If you be reproached for the name of Messiah, joyful are you, for the spirit of splendor and of Yahweh rests upon you. On their part, he is evil. So Messiah is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is, esteemed. They're using glorified here, so I'd substitute the word, he's magnified would be better. Now, I didn't look that up, but that is legitimate to substitute magnified for glorified. See the website. And Yahweh, YHVH, let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or evildoer, or a busybody in other men's matters. Yeah, don't be a busybody. Do I know somebody like that? Yet if any man suffer that word should not be a Christian, but something else, like believer, because of the connotation of Christ there, if you were to look up. And, you know, not just your armchair Strong's Concordance, but go deeper than that. Look up the derivative, where it was first used years and years ago when the Romans Hellenized the language. And they even doctored up Hebrew. Yet if any man suffer as a believer, let him not be ashamed, but let him magnify Yahweh on this behalf. And let's see. So that was, we get rid of the idea of the Greek pagan god there, and insert believer for now, until we find a better one. And then in our reference here in verse 17, you could look up Malachi 3:6 and Ezekiel 9:4 about Yahweh's putting a mark on our heads, on our hearts for being obedient. And for sighing and crying for the abominations that are be about us. They definitely are about us, and even in churches, and it's growing. It stinks, but for the time has come that judgment must begin over there at the tavern. No, at the house of Yahweh. And if it first begins with us, what shall be the end of them be that don't obey the gospel of Yahweh? See Hebrews 10:13. And if the righteous are scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of Yahweh commit the keeping of their souls to him. The keeping of their souls commit it to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Oh, right. Yes. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We are to humble ourselves. In the next chapter, chapter 5 of Peter, humble yourselves before, or rather under, the mighty hand of Yah, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But Yah of all unmerited favor, or not grace, but unmerited favor, or k'en, but Yah of all favor, who has called us unto his eternal esteem by Yahushua Messiah, after that you have suffered a little while, he make you perfect. Then may he make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. To him be splendor and dominion forever and ever. Hallel. Then we go to go to Jude anyway. Let's see here. I'm confused here. I can't remember which way it is. No, that's Yaakov to the left. That's James. I go to the right of John right before the Revelation. And that's even in the scriptures. It's in the same order. So apparently Jude Yehuda was one of the latter chapters. And it says, beware that we're supposed to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the emissaries. What faith would that be? Just the New Testament. Please just give me a pocket New Testament and forget that Old Testament thing. All that prophecy and everything, and warnings and encouragement and mercy and talking about the resurrection life in the Old Testament. Just toss it out. I don't need it. Oh, come on. Contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. That means the Older Testament and the Newer Testament. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the unmerited favor of Yah into lasciviousness and denying the only Master, or the only Yahweh, and our Master Yahusha HaMashiach, Yah, our Savior. I'll therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that Yahweh, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, he afterward destroyed them that believed not. Read Numbers 14, if you don't believe that, or if you've forgotten. Oh, it's so easy to forget. The scriptures are easy to remember. It should be. And the messengers which kept not their first estate, or it says here angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day. So, that's one reason I don't believe in this once saved, always saved eternal security, because of this and other scriptures. So this Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter there, and verse 6. Even the messengers were kicked out. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. A reference on Sodom and Gomorrah is in Genesis 19. Likewise, also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses. He did not bring against him a railing accusation, but he said, Yahuwah rebuke thee. See Zechariah 3, verse 2. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Numbers 16, verses 19 through 50. These are spots in your feasts of love. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds that are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead. So there goes that doctrine of eternal security, because you can be twice dead. See, how can you die twice if you were already saved? Well, somebody could still probably make some pretext for an argument there to stand up for. And they may. This is a free country here in the U.S. of A. And so without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, Yahweh cometh with 10,000 of his emissaries to execute judgment. And I substitute an emissary for saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly, those people who are under the law, who are breaking it, and who have the death penalty attached to their account of sin. They keep building it up. They deny Yahweh. They don't show the love. They take his name in vain. And we might be doing that too sometimes if we don't refrain from this obsession we have with possessions and football teams and Christmas holiday celebrations and, oh, the long list there. And many follow the tune. it said there. But to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they ungodly have committed, and of all their hard speeches on the Christian radio, right? Their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. You know, they complain about, how do they have the right to use that term, that title, messianics? They don't have the right to do that. Well, then, how do they have the right to call themselves Baptists or whatever, you know? And not to speak against you good Baptist people who are listening, but you know the kind I mean. The liberal, the typical Protestant, Laodicean, lukewarm type of thing there that woman or man needs to grow up, shape up, and walk in the word of Yahweh. To walk in the word of Yahweh joyfully and with faith. So the devil disputed about the body of Moses. He did not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, Yahweh rebuke thee. And then we are down in verse 11 and 12 and 13. Let's see, 13, 14. To execute judgment in 15. Execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have uncommitted and of all their hard speeches. Okay. This sounds like Christian radio again in verse 16. Great swelling words. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaking great swelling words. Oh, they're so intellectual. They've been all through the seminary, speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage, because of financial advantage, and the advantage of having popular great numbers of people who view their shows on television and radio and the internet. But not to say that if they're a success that they're bad. Not to say that at all. They might be in Yahweh's way, might be led by his spirit. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of Yahusha, Hamashiach. Oh, this humble old man here reading the scriptures to you. Verse 18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves. They're sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most Kodesh faith, praying in the Ruach HaKodesh, keeping yourselves in the love of Yahweh, or the love of Yah, looking for mercy of the Yahweh, the Messiah, Yahusha, unto eternal life, and of some having compassion. Where is that? Come on now, guys. Let's get together and have a little bit of leeway for one another sometimes if we're not saying things just exactly the way that we think that they should sound or talk. You know, this is not a talk radio program. When we get together as brethren, we're not talk radio specialists. We're not Larry Kings walking around, or even Sean Hannity. Sorry, Sean. And some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. See Zechariah 3, verse 4, and Revelation 3, 4 as well. 3, 4 in Zechariah, Revelation 3, 4. Now, unto him, he is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his splendor with exceeding joy. The only wise Yahweh, our Savior, be splendor and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Hallel Yahweh. And let's look at Revelation 3, 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh what? The world. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name. Those who say they have eternal security, it shows that it is possible that he can blot out our name. So Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his messengers. The Messiah speaking there. Also in 22:19, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the synagogues or assemblies or the convocations. So there you have the message to Sardis. We are in that age of times in the book of the Revelation. And now, in the time this podcast was made here on Yahweh Yahweh, the email is StephanYah@YahwehYahweh.me. Shalom.